5th of November, 1936. Talk number 275. In the course of conversation, someone referred to the fact that when Mr. Brunton and a lady were walking home in the night, they saw a bright glow on half the hill, moving slowly and gently from north to south. Sri Bhagavan said, "This hill is said to be wisdom in visible shape." Devotee, "How is it visible to the physical eye?" Maharshi, Sambandar had sung, quote, "The one who fascinated my heart, or the captivator of my heart, I sing of him in my mind," end quote. The heart is captivated. Consequently, the mind must have sunk into the heart, and yet there is the remembrance which enables the saint to sing of God later. Then the experience of a young disciple was mentioned. The young man, educated and in good circumstances, in good health and sober mind, was once facing Sri Bhagavan's picture in his home and meditating on the figure. The figure suddenly appeared animated with life, which threw the young man into a spasm of fear. He called out for his mother. His mother came in and asked him what the matter was. He was surrounded by relatives who were perplexed by his appearance. He was aware of their presence, but was still overpowered by a mysterious force which he tried to resist. He became unconscious for a short time. Fear seized him as he regained consciousness. The people became anxious and tried to bring him round with medicines. When later he came to Truvannamalai, he had some foreboding of similar experience. The proximity of Sri Bhagavan prevented any untoward happening, but whenever he wandered away from the hall, he found the force almost irresistible and himself in the grip of fear. Bhagavan said, "Is it so? No one told me this before." A devotee asked if it was not Shaktipata, descent of divine power. Maharshi, "Yes, it is. A madman clings to samskaras, whereas a jnani does not. That is the only difference between the two. Jnana is madness of a kind." Devotee, "But Shaktipati is said to occur when merit and demerit are equal." Maharshi, "Yes. Mala Paripaka, Karma Samya, and Shaktipata mean the same. A man is running the course of his samskaras. When taught that he is the self, the teaching affects his mind, and imagination runs riot. He feels helpless before the onrushing power. His experiences are only according to his imagination of this state, quote, 'I am the self,' end quote, whatever he may conceive it to be. Shaktipata alone confers the true and right experience. When the person is ripe for receiving the instruction and the mind is about to sink into the heart, the instruction imparted works in a flash, and one realizes the self all right. Otherwise, there is always the struggle. Annihilation of the mind, knowledge, and one-pointedness mean the same." Talk number 276. The UP lady arrived with her brother, a woman companion, and a burly bodyguard. When she came into the hall, she saluted Maharshi with great respect and feeling and sat down on a wool blanket in front of Sri Bhagavan. Sri Bhagavan was then reading Trilinga in Telugu on the reincarnation of a boy. The boy is now 13 years old and reading in the government high school in a village near Lucknow. When he was 3 years, he used to dig here and there. When asked, he would say that he was trying to recover something which he had hidden in the earth. When he was 4 years old, a marriage function was celebrated in his home. When leaving, the guest humorously remarked that they would return for this boy's marriage. But he turned round and said, "I am already married. I have 2 wives. When asked to point them out, he requested to be taken to a certain village, and there he pointed to 2 women as his wives. It is now learned that a period of 10 months elapsed between the death of their husband and the birth of this boy. When this was mentioned to the lady, she asked if it was possible to know the after-death state of an individual. Sri Bhagavan said, "Some are born immediately after, others after a lapse of time. A few are not reborn on this earth, but eventually get salvation in some higher region. And a very few get absolved here and now." She said, "I do not mean that. Is it possible to know the condition of an individual after his death?" Maharshi, "It is possible, but why try to know it? All facts are only as true as the seeker." She, "The birth of a person, his being and death are real to us." Maharshi, "Because you wrongly identified your own self with the body, you think of the other one in terms of the body. Neither you nor the other is the body." She, "But from my own level of understanding, I consider myself and my son to be real." Maharshi, "The birth of the I thought is one's own birth. Its death is the person's death. After the I thought has arisen, the wrong identity with the body arises. Thinking yourself the body, you give false values to others and identify them with bodies. Just as your body has been born, grows, and will perish, so also you think the other was born, grew up, and died. Did you think of your son before his birth? The thought came after his birth and persists even after his death. Inasmuch as you are thinking of him, he is your son. Where has he gone? He has gone to the source from which he sprang. He is one with you. So long as you are, he is there too. If you cease to identify yourself with the body, but see the real self, this confusion will vanish. You are eternal. The others also will similarly be found to be eternal. Until this truth is realized, there will always be this grief due to false values arising from wrong knowledge and wrong identity." She, "Let me have true knowledge by Sri Bhagavan's grace." Maharshi, "Get rid of the I thought. So long as I is alive, there is grief. When I ceases to exist, there is no grief. Consider the state of sleep." She, "Yes, but when I take to the I thought, other thoughts arise and disturb me." Maharshi, "See whose thoughts they are. They will vanish. They have their root in the single I thought. Hold to it, and they will disappear." Again, the master pointed to the story of Punya and Papa in Yoga Vashistha 5, chapter 20. Punya consoles Papa on the death of their parents and turns him to realizing the self. Further, creation is to be considered in its 2 aspects, God's creation and the individual's creation. Of these 2, the universe is the former, and its relation to the individual is the latter. It is the latter which gives rise to pain and pleasure, irrespective of the former. a story was mentioned from Panchadasi. There were two young men in a village in South India. They went on a pilgrimage to North India. One of them died. The survivor, who was earning something, decided to return only after some months. In the meantime, he came across a wandering pilgrim, whom he asked to convey the information regarding himself and his dead companion to the village in South India. The wandering pilgrim did so, but by mistake changed the names. The result was that the dead man's parents rejoiced in his safety, and the living one's parents were in grief. Thus, you see, pain or pleasure has no reference to facts, but to mental conceptions. Jiva Srishti is responsible for it. Kill the jiva, individual, and there is no pain or pleasure, but the mental bliss persists forever. Killing the jiva or individual is to abide in the self. She. I hear all this. It is beyond my grasp. I pray Sri Bhagavan to help me understand it all. I had been to a waterfall in Mysore. The cascade was a fascinating sight. The water streamed out in the shapes of fingers, trying to grasp the rocks, but were rushed on by the current to the depths below. I imagine this to be the state of the individuals clinging to their present surroundings, but I cannot help clinging. I cannot imagine that we are no better than seasonal flowers, fruits, leaves on trees. I love flowers, but still this idea has no hold on me. After a few minutes, she pointed out that she had intended to ask Maharshi about death and matters relating to it, but did not, however, do it. Yet Maharshi was reading the related matter in the newspaper, and the same topic came up for enlightenment. She left after seeing the cow, Lakshmi. 9th of November, 1936. Talk number 277. Mr. S.S. Cohen. What is will? I mean, where does it fit in the five koshas? Maharshi. The I thought arises first, and then all other thoughts. They comprise the mind. The mind is the object, and the I is the subject. Can there be will without the I? It is comprised in the I. The I thought is the Vijnanamaya kosha, the intellectual sheath. Will is included in it. Sri Bhagavan said further, Anamaya kosha is the gross body sheath, the senses with the prana and the karmindriyas form the sense sheath. The senses with the mind form the mind sheath. They are the gyanendriyas. The mind is formed of thoughts only. Item, this, is the object, and aham, I, is the subject. The two together form the intellectual sheath.